Now, if you want to change political minds, who better to do it than a former politician? Robert Tickner, Australia's longest-serving Minister for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs in the Hawke and Keating governments, is heading up a new movement to try to persuade governments to get over their obsession with prison. Australia's imprisonment rate has more than tripled in recent decades. It's higher than Western European countries and Canada, and it makes little economic sense. It costs taxpayers more than $3.6 billion, or $110,000 per prisoner per year. Even in the US, with its notorious history of imprisonment, the conversation is now changing. And believe it or not, Democrats and Republicans have agreed to shift their focus to alternatives to prison. Here, various leading lights are now lending their heft to this new project. Patrons of the Justice Reform Initiative include no less than three former justices of the High Court, the former head of the Federal Police, Mick Palmer, Pat Turner, the former CEO of ATSIC, and two governors general of the past. Dozens of patrons, all eminent and high-achieving Australians who share a collective concern. So the question is, will governments listen to them? Robert Tickner is the chair of the Justice Reform Initiative. Hello there.
Hi, Geraldine. Nice to be with you.
What's the aim of the group, Robert?
The essence of it is to shift the public conversation in Australia away from this obsession that we have with building more and more prisons to adopt evidence-based policy that will essentially cut offending, make communities safer, strengthen them, and really turn around what has become the incarceration nation. I think in every sense, jailing is failing, as our website makes pretty clear.
You're not trying to build an organisation, you make a point. You are building a movement for change. So you are a lobby group, and that's what we'd better get used to hearing.
Well, look, we're absolutely not about building an organisation. It's really about building a cross-party social movement for change, and one which is not driven from the top, but really is coming from the communities right across Australia, because so many of us have now come to realise that there are real practical alternatives for so many offenders other than going to prison, and that jail, in fact, makes lives worse in so very many ways, whether we're talking about Aboriginal Australians or young Australians or women. And I think our focus, importantly, is not only on the criminal justice reforms. Obviously, we want to breathe some life into the laws around Australia, which say that jailing really should be the last resort. But unfortunately, those principles have become eroded by both sides of politics, unfortunately, over recent decades.
Well, in fact, we've just been talking to Ann Summers, of course, in the US, but the rhetoric around prisons there really has changed. It was quite a surprise to read.
Yes, it absolutely has. And I think this is one of the key points that we make, that this is an issue which really ought to be bringing our party political leaders together, as it has done in the United States with the Democrats and the Republicans to a very large extent. But can I just make the point, it's not just the criminal justice reforms that I've spoken of that we seek to have addressed, but there is literally a mountain of evidence over many decades now that it is the underlying issues that give rise to the disproportionate rate, for example, of Aboriginal incarceration, as our friends in the organisations Change the Record make so clear in their work. But the work, of course, of Tony Vinson, the late Tony Vinson, in those
prison reformer.
Well, he was more than that. He really highlighted, as your earlier interviewee speaking from the public health perspective also emphasised, you know, that there are these postcodes of disadvantage, these areas of entrenched intergenerational poverty. And those are also issues that we want our political parties to come together and work on to address.
But look, you know, for instance, I mean, this will probably play a role in today's Queensland election if I read some of the material coming out of some parts of Queensland with, you know, problems that don't seem to be able to be solved. Obviously, Robert, this is why people reach for prison, wouldn't you say? Because it seems to be a temporary solution anyway. Now, you've got to try to break that discussion.
Absolutely. And I don't want to really dwell on the, you know, the immediate Queensland election, but it is true to say that historically we've kind of developed a law and order auction leading into so many states and territory elections. And I think that if you had seen the American last presidential debate, one of the things that was quite extraordinary was the extent to which, believe it or not, both the presidential candidates, the president and Mr. Biden, were actually speaking very positively about the need for criminal justice reform. And I guess this is an appeal to people of goodwill in this country, people who truly believe that good government really implements evidence-based policy, things that work. And why should we keep putting more and more people into prison when the evidence is that 50% of them are going to be back before the courts and in prison within 12 months. And the youth detention area, the statistics are even more shocking. As one of our patrons, Professor Fiona Stanley, has highlighted, you know, the health issues, the medical issues impacting on so many of those children really warrant a totally different approach to youth detention. And those kids come back out of detention, back in there, pretty much 60 or 70% of them within 12 months. That's a crazy failed system.
Yeah. I mean, it's not only Aboriginal communities, though, is it, where the social determinants are sort of obvious? I mean, we should have been doing something about it by now, you'd think. But remind us, for instance, about that postcode work that Tony Vinson did, which was so powerful, I think, as a circuit breaker in discussion.
Well, it is, and it's also supported by work of the Australian Bureau of Statistics. But it essentially shows that if you have communities with massively high unemployment, with poor educational outcomes, with family breakdown, all the, you know, core public health measurements that people know so well, the inevitable consequence is that statistically you have a massive proportion, a disproportionate number of people in that community who come into contact with the criminal justice system. And once they're in that system, they graduate to adult prisons. All the consequences, the intergenerational consequences, are so catastrophic. Mm. And there is a better way. And that's why we're very, you know, proud to be working with the Paul Ramsey Foundation, because their priority is around tackling this intergenerational poverty.
And you remember that he talked about the fact if there was a decent sporting club there, you had an amazing ability, had postcodes beside each other, where one had a sporting club and much lower rates of imprisonment and the other didn't. It was most interesting. And obviously there's the drug and alcohol and so on that is critical too. But it's employment, most of all, you say, Robert, that seems to be the critical factor.
Absolutely. And look, to address these things, Geraldine, you know, in the post-COVID environment, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if our Prime Minister and our opposition leader could come together on these issues and make it a national priority to address these postcodes of disadvantage, to have sustained cross-party commitment to really tackling this really totally un-Australian and unjust intergenerational poverty. But we must also tackle at the same time the criminal justice reforms. And people forget just how out of step we are with the rest of the world, where the whole of Western Europe and Canada all have incarceration rates significantly lower than Australia. And this reliance on incarceration costs so much money, $3.5 billion a year, plus many more billions in capital costs for new prisons. It's a crazy system.
What about the role of others like shock jocks and the like? I mean, the minute that some of these politicians might choose to actually be bipartisan on this, they'd be accused of being soft on crime, wouldn't they? So, I mean, you've got a big job ahead of you of changing the discussion.
Well, we'll be talking to talkback radio people. We'll be talking to people right across the Australian community. This is not a left-right issue. This is one for all of us, and people of goodwill need to come together on this. We need to turn public opinion where we have challenges. Many people are already behind this, but we also need to tell our parliamentarians, our politicians, you know, that some leadership on this issue is just desperately in need, and they ought to be coming together on this. This is not about scoring points.
All right. Well, we'll watch it with a great deal of interest. Thank you very much indeed for joining us, Robert Tickner.
Thanks so much, Geraldine.
Robert Tickner, who is the chair of the Justice Reform Initiative. And I must say, the figures are extraordinary. The Australian imprisonment rate increased from 66 per 100,000 of the adult population in 1985 to 223 last year. That is really terrible, isn't it?